for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon, bringing you tonight's show as normal. And again, we are now going to wrap up one sports season with basketball. We'll talk a little bit about the state tournament, regional matchups, and COVID. And then we're getting ready to go into our spring sports, softball, baseball, track, and whatever else. Some other folks have other sports in the spring, but that's the main three here at Powell County High School. So go straight to Ken with any COVID updates.
Yeah, actually, some good news in many respects. The numbers continue to trickle down. For those that listened last week, we had 53 cases of COVID reported in Powell County, and that number has gone down. We now have 29 new cases that are confirmed. The 29 cases continues to be a decrease. This is the lowest level we've had since July 26th through August 1st of 2021. So, you know, the fact that we've come down that far in a sense, but with the new CDC guidelines, we still are considered high with those new CDC community levels. So even though we're still considered high, the numbers continue to trickle down, and I think we'll probably be high until we get down in the teens or even the single digits just based on our population. So even though we're high, the numbers continue to trickle down with that 29. And then according to the Team Kentucky COVID-19 vaccination dashboard, 58.33% of Powell Countyans have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. That's actually 7,209 people. 6,393, or 51.73%, are fully vaccinated, and 2,699, or 21.84%, have received an additional dose or booster shot. So, again, collectively, 58% of the population has had at least one dose. And then, again, the 50% basically have been fully vaccinated.
And I think going forward, I think that will be the key as far as keeping the numbers down when we have another outbreak type point, is whether or not people are up to date on their vaccines. I think this is one that is going to kind of like me. I never was a fan of a flu shot. However, after watching people suffer with the flu and having the flu once myself, not very often did I have the flu, but once, and after seeing some of those things, after having shingles a couple years ago, some of these vaccines make more sense now. As I get older, they make a whole lot more sense.
And obviously the way that the numbers are trickling down, and obviously considering, you know, you have nearly 60% of the population has received at least one dose, you know, that's promising around here. And I think as well, the fact that we're trending out of winter and spring is upon us, even despite the forecast for the upcoming weekend, potential snow. But the fact that things are warming up, things are kind of starting to be in bloom, I think at that point we're probably a little bit safer in many respects, and not so much around the cold and flu type season as well.
I know I was been sick the last couple of days with a little sinus infection after beautiful weather on Saturday, going out with softball practice, I think up close to 80. And then now we talk about a week later, exactly 1 week later, and it's going to be 15. So, as always, we have a really nice week prior to the start of baseball and softball season. And then the week of season is going to be normal winter, spring fucked up weather. It's going to be in the 50s. It's going to be cool at night. Not very much fun, but again, better than the 30s and 40s. So we'll take what we can get here. But again, it's they just like to tease us with those warm days when we can't play, and have it on days that we can play. It's going to be just miserable.
Yeah, as everybody knows, that's just Kentucky weather, right? You know, just stick around in a sense. But you're exactly right. It always seems those opening games are very cold and chilly when you had days of practice where it was really nice. It was like, why can't we have that to start the season? But
well, I always get there having falls up here. Always seems like we get those type of game days in practice, and you wish you're playing somebody. But again, sometimes we practice at a time where it's not going to be warm or cold anyway, in the middle of the day, on like on Saturday. But both the games are played at 5:30 start time. Normally our early practice are at 4. So all of our practice pretty much are not when it's going to be the coolest. Normally you start a game, it's going to get cooler progressively. And when you start the second game, it's cold. So that's kind of, that's normal. When it gets dark, it's normal. But, you know, clock, I think, changes this weekend as well.
Correct.
So
yeah.
Be aware, when it gets really cold Saturday, on Sunday,
your spring clock, forward.
Spring forward. Don't forget to do that, folks. So, but again, those COVID numbers on the decline. Let's hope they stay that way, again, for the near future. And they'll send out projections when it's going to happen again. And I think this is true. Not everything the CDC has done has made sense to me, but most of the predictions they have made have been spot on. So if you see a prediction that says, okay, we're getting ready to have a ramp up, you might all be careful about, you know what you need to do now. Just go do what you know you need to do and go on. For us, it's kind of like back to normal now. I know it's not normal, but I think this is our new normal. And it is what it is. You stay, keep vaccinated, keep updated with your vaccines, and hopefully you won't have to have serious illness going forward.
Yeah, again, at this point, I'd like to think that we've kind of put that behind us. And even when you look at scientists who are those projectors, you know, as far as like taking samples, et cetera, to try and see if there is a new variant, nothing has come up that's any significance. Even though there are some other variants out there, nothing of any significance that would cause an alarm.
Correct.
At least at this point. And let's hope that at least with the Omicron, you know, as people ended up getting at, because I think that was kind of a little bit more common in a sense. It seemed that was when our numbers to me almost kind of really went up was with the Omicron variant. Not nearly as bad as the Delta, but at the same time, hopefully we put that behind us. Everyone has kind of got that shot, natural immunity, et cetera, to kind of continue to fight and continue
to get strong.
It seemed
like the Delta variant was the more serious variant. Omicron was just more contagious. But I think as it went on, as we get educated, as in anything else we do, the more educated we are, the better off we are as far as being able to handle something. Now, if you don't use that education, that's on you. So education's there. We've been educated. If you don't believe in the education you've got, then it is what it is. If something happens, I mean, if it happens to me, I've been educated. It'll be my fault if something happens. So that's the way I look at it at this point. I still don't love it that maybe we pulled the mask mandates a little early, but you can see all the school districts now that are catching a lot of heat for not doing it. And I get it. You know, you don't want a round of COVID in your school and your elderly folks or your teachers, you know, when and they could be the ones that may suffer the brunt of the illness or the infections, but that's a different story. So, but that's your COVID update for tonight. We'll take a break, come back with some sports updates, give you some a little bit about the regional matchups last week, how they all fared out with Boys Region. And then talk about the state tournament coming up. And a little bit later on the show, we'll have Coach Frank Spencer in here from Powell County Baseball. So we'll be back in a moment here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native of Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a newer used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon. Give you a little updates. Again, we'll talk a little bit about the 14th Region Boys Tournament. That was played since we were last on the air. Again, we had, I guess we'd already played.
Well, they had the two games. They had the Cordia Hazard Esta Wolf games.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
And they had those games on the 2nd, so it was Cordia defeating Hazard 71-64 to advance, and then Estill County defeated Wolf County 80-78 in triple overtime. Probably one of the – I wish I'd have been there and seen it live. I watched it on Facebook Live on WSKV, but to have been live at that game, that was one of the most outstanding high school basketball games probably ever. The only one that comes to mind for me is going back when Powell ended up winning over Breathitt County at home, and then beat Perry County Central to advance to be the 14th region champion, to advance to the state back in 2003. Other than that, I can't think of another game that really kind of matches that. But Estill County ended up advancing in the bottom half of the bracket. Breathitt County defeated Knott County Central 67-43, and then Perry County Central defeated Powell 66-38 in a game that the Pirates had their struggles in a sense, kind of kept it close at times, and then all of a sudden the full court pressure of Perry County Central was difficult for the Pirates to handle, and then at that point Perry Central kind of pulled away in that game.
Yeah, there's such good basketball games though early on in the tournament. Cordia versus Hazard was a really good game. We actually left the station while that game was on, and both of us said, this game's over. Hazard was up by 14, I think, in the third quarter. I'm almost to the house, check the score. Cordia's ahead. Or actually, we got to the cars.
One point. Cordia's
ahead.
It.
I said, no, they were just down 14.
Yeah.
So, great comeback by Cordia in that game. They went at 71-64 that first round game. And like you said, the Estill County, Wolf County game, I think if you were in the gym on the first round games of Cordia Hazard, Estill Wolf, you probably saw two of the best boys basketball games that you're going to see for a while.
Yeah, agreed.
And, again, the Estill Wolf game was classic. I'm sure if you're on the Wolf end, it's like the Duke UK finish. People want to play the Duke game for you. It's just a hard loss for Estill, but man, both those two teams had nothing to hold their heads down about. I listened to Danny and William broadcast, and they said that that game was hard to see a loser come out of it.
Yeah,
you didn't want to see either one of those teams lose. They fought their butts off. Great fourth quarter, great overtime by some players. It's what high school basketball is all about. Moving forward, Breathitt County handled Knott County fairly easily. Like you said, Perry defeated Powell fairly easily. So the next night wasn't nearly as competitive, but I don't think anybody really expected those games to be that competitive. And then you go to Cordia Estill, which I thought Cordia would be the better team here. And Estill County showed up. They really played well against Cordia and scored more points than I thought. I thought the score got that high, Cordia wins. But Estill County played so well in that one to defeat Cordia. And then Breathitt, Perry, we had seen Breathitt play earlier. We knew how good they were. It just didn't have enough horses for Perry Central.
Yeah, Breathitt didn't necessarily have the shots again, the full court pressure kind of created problems for Breathitt County. A very competitive game, yeah. and I felt like that had Breathitt been able to make some key shots at different times, it probably would have been in closer. You know, obviously losing by 9 points, you know, I mean, that's respectable in a sense, and it could have been much closer. But let's go back to the Cordia Estill game, 93-87,
yeah,
in a high school basketball game. Unbelievable offensive numbers put up by both of those teams. Yeah,
yeah,
by both of those teams. So Perry Central ended up advancing, and Estill County ended up advancing. That game was played last night in a very close game in the first half, and then really in the third quarter, Perry County Central's full court pressure defense created nothing but problems for the Engineers. Bad passes, cross-court passes, but again, you credit the defense. That's what you're trying to do to create those turnovers. Mm-hmm. And then once Estill ended up kind of getting down, they couldn't call their way back in a sense. And again, that full court pressure is was tough in a sense. And then Perry Central was able to get some second chance opportunities. They were getting rebounds off of missed free throws. Perry Central shot a terrible free throw percent. At one point, they were like 5 out of 23, 24, something along those lines. I'm not sure what the final stat was. But when they were missing the free throws on the second shot, let's say, they were going also getting the rebound and giving themselves those opportunities, and the Engineers couldn't necessarily rebound. And again, that full court pressure as they ended up losing 64-46 as Perry Central represents the 14th region.
But if you went back and watched the Estill County games, again, they had played Wolf earlier where they beat them, and Wolf handled Estill easily. Later in the season, they played, I think, again, and maybe it was a closer game. And in the tournament, you don't expect it, the game that you had. Estill County didn't match up during the regular season, but the matchups you'd seen prior to, Estill County was just playing their best basketball at the end of the season. Again, they got the big district win over Powell in the championship game, which I thought Powell gave a great performance, had a chance to win that game. So if Estill had a down game, I think it's because of the way Powell County played them at the Lee County in the championship game. But they played so well in the tournament. So kudos off to Brian Hall and his team from Estill County. Again, extraordinary run in the 14th region tournament. But as I think most people projected, Perry's going to win this thing. And the bottom bracket was probably the strongest because Estill or the Perry Breathitt game had so much hype. And it was a fairly much closer game. I'm aware Estill County was close in the first half, but after the first half, it was pretty much over.
Yeah, that third quarter was just devastating.
If you take away the free throws, it's a blowout. But to finish as the runner-up this season with Estill County's record coming in, that's where you have to say, okay. And at this, we said this about Brian before when he was here at Powell. He didn't always do great in the regular season, but tournament time came around. His team seemed like they peaked at tournament time. So whatever Brian's recipe is, it's working for him, and it worked for the Engineers this year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Again, an outstanding season for them to be the 14th region runner-up. And as you mentioned, just even Perry Central, I mean, they were the cream of the crop all season long. I felt like the only team that would have been close to them was Breathitt, based on us seeing Breathitt County live. At that point, Breathitt didn't necessarily show up, and they weren't the team that we had seen.
No.
You know, back to Perry Central.
You're kind of comparing apples and oranges. When you're playing them with Powell County's team and you're playing against someone else, it makes you look a whole lot different than maybe what you are. So I've heard some people say from Breathitt County that have said this team's up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what you're usually going to get out of a younger team. But Perry Central, one of their players, the Beverly kid, just a freshman. So this is not like Perry's got a ton of experience. Now, when it moves on, and we'll go forward now to the state tournament, and we'll talk about the boys' state tournament first, it's probably there. Perry's going to match up with Clark County, number one team in the state, in their first round game. I think that's next Thursday.
The 16th.
So, actually, that's going to be on Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
So, next Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, same time we're on, will be the Perry-Clark game. So, good luck, Perry Central. All I can say with that one is good luck.
Yeah, congratulations on winning the 14th region.
Yes. But good job, Shannon. You did great with your team, but that run may be over.
Yeah, GRC is a notch above everybody at this point in many respects. Now, they've lost a couple of games, but at the same time, the fact that...
Not in state, though, right?
I think you're correct. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. But nonetheless, you know, we know that when it comes to tournament time, anything can happen. Now, Perry is definitely going to be pressing. They have a good press. You know, they've got players and they're not afraid to shoot. They're going to have to improve at the free throw line going forward. And when you're playing at Rupp Arena, obviously it's a different venue. Who's going to be able to handle the pressure? You know, because at that point, it's like, you know, you've arrived in a sense. And not that, you know, you haven't been to games or something, but when you're down on the floor and all of a sudden you're playing in that venue and realize what's at stake, sometimes the pressure gets to you and sometimes teams and players are just off. They can't handle that in many respects.
Yeah, well, you look at the matchups for the state tournament. We'll talk a little bit about that now. On the 16th, which is next
Wednesday,
the 11 o'clock game will be J-Town versus Lincoln County. Lincoln County kind of maybe a surprise team out of the, I think, they're is that the 9th region or 11th region?
Let me look here.
Anyway, J-Town plays Lincoln County, and I'll have to think, if I had to pick one right now, I'm going to take J-Town. And that matchup over Lincoln, and I don't know anything about the teams. I'm just going by my experience in the tournament.
J-Town's out of the sixth, 24-8 on the season, and Lincoln County comes out of the 12th, 29-7 on the season.
That's a pretty stout record, 29-7 is. Again, J-Town's been here a few times. They kind of know their way around. Lincoln County, you don't see them very often in the state tournament. Next matchup, the 130 matchup, is Muhlenberg County versus North Oldham. You see these two teams quite often at the state tournament.
Muhlenberg, it seems like they're there all the time, it's boys or girls. They're 18-11 on the season this year, and North Oldham is 18-12. So, again, another evenly matched as far as records on the season.
I'd probably pick North Oldham if I had to pick one. You got to pick in those two games?
I'd probably go with North Oldham as well.
And then we got the Perry Central GRC matchup. I'd love to say I'm going to pick the 14th region in this one. I can't. I got to say GRC wins the matchup at 6 o'clock on Wednesday the 16th.
I think GRC, again, it's theirs to win if they play like they're capable of playing. Again, they're 33-1 on the season. Again, it's theirs for the taking. They just have to show up and see how things go.
Now, what may be a really interesting matchup, Ken, is a North Laurel-Pikeville game. Pikeville is your all-A state champion. North Laurel with the Kentucky recruit.
Reed Shepherd.
That has to be kind of a marquee type game there at Rupp Arena. I'm going to take the team to the mountains in this one. I'm going to take, I guess both the mountains. I'm going to take Pikeville coming out of this one.
North Laurel comes in 28-5 on the season. Pikeville comes 31-2 on the season. You know, a good team. I like Pikeville as well.
Yeah. If the people want anything to do and see Shepherd more, if those folks are out there willing to, sometimes it may play that role. We'll kind of see how it goes.
Well, on one hand, with Reed Shepherd, it goes back to how much pressure is he going to feel
as a one man team?
Yeah, that right? He has to carry his team, and I'm not so sure. Again, that sometimes players at that level have enough support where they can sustain that.
Well, we saw how good. You know, some teams competed in the All-A. I think Breathitt County was the representative, right? Did Breathitt County win the All-A?
Breathitt County?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to forget what I was thinking because I may be way off base here. But anyway, we'll move on to the second day, which will be Thursday, 1:30 game. The 11 o'clock game. We'll go to the bottom of the bracket. That's why they confused me here. It'll be Warren Central versus Mayo. Hello. Do you guys take Mayo here?
Well, they are actually, Mayo comes in on the season at 28-5. And then when you look at Warren Central, they come in with a record of 26-3.
Now, you're talking about two large schools.
Yeah.
Battling out in that first game on Thursday. Game two will be at 1:30, be Lyon County versus John Hardin. So John Hardin gets the win over Retown. I don't know much about Lyon County. I'd have to kind of take John Harden this one.
28-6 Lyon County, and John Harden 25-9.
Well, Lyon County may be a sleeper. You don't see that name often in the state tournament, but again, I'm still taking John Harden.
I would agree with that too, just because as you mentioned, Lyon County not necessarily a team that you consistently see in the tournament. And at that point, again, sometimes I just think the pressure is there. When you're in that kind of venue, all of a sudden things just don't necessarily work out unless you've been there, done that before.
Yeah. Then the 6 o'clock matchup will be Murray versus Henry Clay. Murray out of Western Kentucky. Henry Clay coming in. Out of the 10th or 11th region, or 9th region, I guess, is Henry Clay. I don't know. The schedule they have to go through, I think they're pretty good.
I would agree. Murray comes in with a 25-6 record on the season, and Henry Clay coming in with a record of 27-8. I'd probably have to go with Henry Clay as well. I just think, as you mentioned,
strength of schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Just, yeah. When you're playing that caliber of teams consistently week in and week out.
And then to wrap up the Thursday night session will be Covecath, who is often at the state tournament, and Ashland Blazer, who's got some local connections for Powell County. Lori Beth Rogers, now Mays, right? Her husband is the coach at Ashland.
Jason Mays
is the coach at Ashland Blazer. So some Powell County connections maybe there. So I'll probably be rooting for Ashland Blazer, but we'll see how they fare against Covecath. It was a very good team as well.
Ashland Blazer coming in with a record of 26-5 on the season. And then when you look at Covington Catholic, they come in with a very similar record of 28-4.
So a lot of these schools showing these 20-plus wins. We saw a few teams had 18, 17, but they all had winning records. So there's really no major upsets in your region play.
Yeah, really. Muhlenberg County and North Oldham, the two
underdogs.
With the, yeah, 18-11, you know, that 17-12 kind of record in there. Everybody else basically has large numbers. I would probably go back, if you look at the Henry Clay Murray, I would assume that Murray would probably, just based on everything that happened in Western Kentucky early on, there'll probably be some people that would be pulling for them in a sense. Just even at the state level, you know, just everything that happened.
You know, they're in Muhlenberg County probably as well, maybe even a little bit out of Warren Central down in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of connections there with the damages back in the winter. But, man, heart goes out to all those folks that were affected. It's good to see some of those guys playing basketball and representing here in the state tournament.
Yeah, I think the Warren Central and Mayo game, two strong teams that, you know, always have good ball teams. That to me is a strong matchup right there. I think that could basically be a toss up and go either direction.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the state tournament, the boys' state tournament, especially next week when we come on the air at 6 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and take a break here, kind of waiting still on Frank to show up. So we'll talk more about the girls' state tournament here in a moment here on BCSN Live.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-663-2815. 723-4881. Or find out more information at HinkleContracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
All right, now we're going to take a look at our girls' Sweet 16, which is already going on at Rupp Arena tonight. First game today. And I'm not sure what order it is in, but we have a score from Bullet East defeated Bethlehem 67-50 in the first round action. And Meade County over Boyd County by 7, 53-46. The game that's going on as we speak is McCracken versus Southwestern. And in the nightcap will be Henderson County versus Franklin County.
You know, I think under the circumstances, when you look at the Bullet East and the Bethlehem game, I don't think that's necessarily a surprise coming in with those. I think the Meade County and the Boyd County game, basically kind of one of those toss-up games, if you will. Even though you give the nod probably to Meade County, they seem to kind of consistently be there. But the game to me, the Henderson County and Franklin County, definitely an interesting matchup right there in many respects. I think when you look at the Franklin County team, I think in many respects that they have a really nice team, been consistent throughout the whole season, really. I would look for them to kind of get the nod and move ahead as well.
And as far as the state tournament, again, those are tonight at Rupp Arena. Tomorrow's action will be Bowling Green versus the 14th region representative, Letcher County Central. It'll be a tough matchup for Letcher Central going there to play Bowling Green. Again, it's the second largest school, I guess, in the 14th region versus one of the larger schools in the state of Kentucky at Bowling Green.
Yeah, I think that, 28-7 for Bowling Green on the season. And let me go back here. For some reason, it keeps wanting to kick me in a different direction. Letcher Central coming in 26-9.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to say Bowling Green's record at what it is probably a tougher competition level than what you've seen in Letcher Central. I would just think that because, again, I'd say this, 14th region is probably one of the weakest regions in the state of Kentucky. We may throw a couple other regions that are with us about the same, but when you get down to Western Kentucky, Central Kentucky, girls' action is a whole lot better game.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think on one hand, Letcher Central would have to come out and, again, when it gets to this point, you have to play every game has to be your next best game going forward, and you have to continue to improve. You know, we'd love to see Letcher Central to go on in advance, but I think you're exactly right. I think they'll have their hands full with Bowling Green.
Well, I know as always what I'm going to do. I'm going to cheer for the Mountain Schools when we go play this thing. So I'll be rooting for Letcher Central tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good luck to them. I'll be Pikeville taking on Cooper. Pikeville in this tournament, both boys and girls. That's going to be nice to see for all the Pikeville fans. 2 weeks at Rupp Arena versus one. So they'll play Cooper tomorrow. Be interesting matchup there.
Yeah, the girls come in for Pikeville 31-2 on the season. A very similar record to the boys. And then Cooper coming in 23-9. I think you definitely give the nod to the Pikeville girls there as well.
I'm going Pikeville as well. Now we get to the Mountains. Got Corbin against GRC. Against was at one point ranked number one in the state as well for the girls program. The other team that has both boys and girls is GRC. I got to take GRC over Corbin in this one.
Yeah, they're 30-2 on the season. And when you look at Corbin, they come in with a respectable record of 25-6.
Yeah, very, very nice record with Corbin. Then you got Sacred Heart versus Anderson County. Anderson County always got a good program. Sacred Heart, big school out of Louisville. Kind of have to see how that one goes.
Anderson County 30-4 on the season, and Sacred Heart 32-3. Sacred Heart seems to always kind of be there in a sense. It's usually them or Assumption kind of that are the two teams that you see come out of the Louisville area there. It's going to be a tough one. I'd probably give the nod to Sacred Heart, to be honest with you, under those circumstances.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is regardless, that bottom bracket is brutal. Corbin, GRC, Sacred Heart, and Anderson County, that's four really good basketball teams matching up at the bottom of that bracket.
Yeah, especially in the first round. That's always tough, right? Because you're almost thinking that, you know, you're going to kind of have it a little easier in a sense as far as coming out of the first round. You hope to. But obviously, if you want a regional title and you advance to the state, you've got a good team regardless of your record.
Yeah, so that's going to set up the Friday matchup between Bullitt East and Meade County. We know that's been set. The second matchup, McCracken County, Southwestern, Henderson, Franklin, underway with McCracken, Southwestern, Henderson, Franklin later on this evening. Again, they'll match up also on Friday with the bottom bracket winners as well. So wish all these teams in the state tournament good luck from the girls' point perspective. And, again, go Mountain Schools, and have to root for GRC a little bit, just right across the right down Mountain Parkway. When you run out of Parkway, you're in Clark County, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It'd be nice to be able to have a couple of flexible days, and let's go and take in Sweet 16, no matter if it's the boys or the girls.
We got a little softball action going on next week. Sorry about that. I'd rather stay home and watch softball.
Oh, I know you would. I know you would, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't either, you know, to get it switched over, but there's still a lot of good basketball left with these teams, again, on boys and girls.
A lot of fun.
Advancing.
You know, that's one of the things moving forward. We're talking about the baseball, softball. We moved the baseball season and softball seasons up a week. This is one of the reasons people hated it, is because, well, girls' action is going on right now. So these teams, if they've got players that are out, they're not going to be ready to go by next week. And you've got baseball guys next week. Your season starts Monday. These guys are still playing basketball.
Yeah, that makes it rough.
It makes it tough for these guys that are playing. If they're playing both sports, it makes it rough to come out. Now, they're going to be fine for the end of the season. It's not going to take that long to catch up. But they're not going to be in throwing shape right off the bat. It's going to take probably a couple weeks. So those kids got to be careful not to overdo early on for either the softball kids or the baseball kids for that throwing motion. Just can't overdo it really quick because you don't have a lot of problems later on.
Yeah, and that's a tough transition in a sense. I mean, completely different muscles in a sense as far as what you're using and your shots and your passes and things. You're definitely going to be sore. Yeah, definitely a slow process in a sense, yet alone not only so much the throwing, but even your batting.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, your body is in a completely different position, angle, and all of that kind of stuff in order to make your contact.
Look at it this way. The Powell County girls have been out this week. They've been out 5 days to get ready for season next week. The boys have been out less time. They've been out maybe three, four days this week because they got beat out in the regional tournament. They only got a few days to prepare for their season. I tell you, it was pushed up. I understand why they did it at the end, but early on, you got to be very careful with these kids, not get them hurt. You got to give them some reps. If Frank's coming in, we'll talk a little bit about that with him and how they're dealing with that, but this is a risky part of the season for these kids who play both basketball and baseball, softball, to transition over.
Yeah, even as far as team chemistry, because even at that point, you know, you've already had a group of players that have come out for conditioning and practices, and you kind of have people set in their positions. Now, all of a sudden, you might have a ball player that's, you know, had just finished up playing basketball, and all of a sudden, now they're making that transition. Now it's like, okay, I've got to get you time to kind of get worked into it, and at that point, when do you kind of place them into that lineup and into that position, even though you know that's where they're going to be? But at the same time, there could be somebody else who, based on that time that they've had on the field already, sometimes it's tough to get caught up.
You know, also, we used to run this all the time when I was coaching baseball. It was worse. These kids wanted that week off to go to state tournament. So if you're taking the few days off to go to state, you're missing games. And that's not good for your team. It's not good for your team chemistry. It's tough calling the coaches. I know, you know, they got like their big chili supper coming up. I know Frank was going to push that probably tonight. That's coming up on Saturday. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But those are some things you got to be careful of, is these kids that in Powell County, it's always kind of been a rite of passage. We're going to state tournament that week. That's our spring break early, if you will. Like a lot of families go to Lexington State for the boys' state tournament.
And I think sometimes, you know, anytime a player, let's see, makes a transition, or even those that choose not to play a year and think they're going to come back the following year, your skill set, it's very tough because people have passed you up where you weren't swinging and hitting and throwing, that kind of thing.
I'll say this, though. If you're a phenomenal athlete and you miss a year, it won't take you that long to get it back. If you're a questionable athlete and you miss a year, you can almost forget about it.
Unless you're a Michael Jordan at that point, then you made me mad because you cut me, and right. I'm going to come back and prove to you during the off season.
Like I said, you had a superior type athlete versus you're just barely making the team anyway. So those folks can't take the year off. We'll take another break here on PCS, and I'll be back in a moment.
.83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again because of great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. The President's Day sales event is going on for a limited time, and all new 2022 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram truck is Truck of the Year for the last 3 years and for 2022. Also, come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton. Proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. You're listening to Pickup Country 104.9 FM, the official home of the Powell County Sports Network. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at listenlikealocal.com for a full schedule of this season's events. This coverage made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, and Citizens Guarantee Bank. Go Pirates!
If you've been waiting on the new Samsung Galaxy S22 device, then the team at Appalachian Wireless has some good news for you. Appalachian Wireless is launching all Samsung S22 models on sale. Every S22 model will be $150 off normal contract pricing. Or take $100 off and we'll pay the taxes on the Appalachian Advantage. Visit one of our retail or dealer locations and on the web, because we don't want you to miss this fantastic deal. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. A couple quick announcements here real quick. Well, Powell County Baseball Chili Supper and Auction and the Hall of Fame Ceremony will be March the 12th, which will be on Saturday. That'll be at 5 p.m. It's a $10 admission. So I know I'll speak for Frank on behalf of Powell County Baseball. Come out and support the Powell County Baseball Pirates in their season by going to the auction. Participating and the chili supper. It's only $10. It's a good place to rub some elbows with some old friends and get to see each other. Not sure who's going in the Hall of Fame this year, but it's always a big event at the chili supper and auction. So hope they have a great one on Saturday. So go out and support the Powell County Baseball auction Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's always a nice event. And a perfect fundraiser for them as well. Been doing it for a long time, haven't they? In other Powell County athletic news, Bernie Vasquez is the new boys soccer head coach, and Victoria Spencer is the new Powell County High School girls soccer coach. So congratulations to both of them. They both played, both graduates of the high school, and the fact that they're actually going to be heading up the program very young as well, both of them. It ought to be interesting going forward for them.
You know, I mentioned that to somebody today. We were talking about Bernie and Victoria getting those jobs, and they are young, and they're going to be very energetic. I hope we don't just drop them off the side of the road here and just say, okay, guys, go out and get it. We need to be giving some support. There's more to being a head coach than what people think, so we got to give them some support. Out there and be patient with them. They'll do a good job, but we got to give them some veteran support out there helping out however they do, because they won't always ask. But these are the people that probably need it more than anybody. The younger kids, they know the game. I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about the paperwork, the things you have to do as a head coach that people don't even think about having to do. They got to have some people working with them. So congratulations on getting the jobs. Now let's get those programs back where they need to be.
Yeah, and obviously the fact that they were both good players, you know, they know the game. Now it's just a matter of being able to put that in, you know, on paper in a sense and out into practice. But ultimately it goes back to the players. The players have to listen to what their coaches are saying because they're there to benefit you and help you and collectively help the team. If you're listening to your coach with their experience and you're paying attention to it, and you're doing what you need to do, again, to improve your own personal game, collectively, yeah, good things can happen for the team.
It makes me feel kind of odd here because I'm thinking we're in a big-time transition here.
Absolutely. Yes, we are.
Our total sports program. So myself and Mike Jones probably need to be worried. we're the old guys now, not Ken Jones like Ken used to be. That's me and Mike Jones. We got to be careful of what we're going to be doing because they might be looking at our heads to get younger.
Well, it's obviously a youth movement, right?
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, the fact that the people who are replacing that are local and or steady people who have been in this community for a long time.
I like the direction.
Yeah, agreed.
But we got to support. We got to support our people and not set them up to fail. That's the important thing here. So.
And our student athletes need to show up.
They need to show up.
Put in the time and the effort and the pride and make it happen.
I watched, we were at softball practice today, and I was watching the volleyball team out there. Probably have 45 kids, maybe not that big, but it seemed like 45 kids, working hard, having fun. That's what you like to see out of these younger programs now, under a new direction, getting help, outside help coming in, and I'll tell you what, making some strides to get better. Makes me kind of jealous because some of those players I wish I'd like to have, you know, but we got a couple of the volleyball players on our team that were watching, I'm thinking, it's our season. We got to worry about what we're doing.
Yeah, keep your eyes on the ball.
Keep your eye here. We got to worry about softball. But, you know, it's good to see the kids out working hard, trying to get better for the future. That's what it takes for any sport that's out there working as we move forward. So now it's kind of – we will take a break and come back and talk about the upcoming baseball and softball schedules here on PCSN Live.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here. So we're going to start with the Powell County baseball schedule, looking at it real quick on upcoming games. And again, the move is scheduled up a week. Frank didn't always go all the way early. He's going to wait till late in the week. He's going to wait till Friday, Saturday. So we got Morgan County away on Friday, the 18th. Game's at 6 o'clock. And then it'll be Mason County and McGaughey coming in for a doubleheader, or it'll probably be a triangle. Or a triple header, if you will. Powell will play both those two teams. They'll play each other. And a good, fun day of baseball on the 19th here at the Powell County High School.
Yeah, I think under the circumstances, when you look at the team that's returning for the Pirates, they have a lot of returning players. Still a young team in a lot of positions. But I think good things can happen for them. Again, it just goes back to you have to be consistent. Baseball is definitely a game of being consistent, in a sense, trying to find that rhythm, whether it's fielding, whether it's hitting, continuing to show improvement. And I think under those circumstances, I think good things can happen.
Yeah, some interesting matchups coming up early here. Again, Morgan County, and we won't have the early games on WSKV. I think the first broadcast date is March 21st.
No.
Nope.
No, I think we're doing the 15th.
18th.
Well, 18th, excuse me. Yeah, is that?
Morgan?
No, you're right. The 15th. Yeah.
Fleming County.
The
right?
Fleming County. Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The 21st will be Fleming County at home. It's a 6 o'clock game. That will be the first broadcast for the PCSN with Jimmy Crace, I believe, right?
Correct, yes. That's the plan. Unfortunately, my real job has me doing something
supersedes.
Else.
And then on Wednesday night, be a big matchup as well, the 23rd of March, which is also, which we're talking about 2 weeks away on that matchup between Perry and Powell on the 23rd. So that's another Wednesday game, not next week, but the week after. So we'll talk again about this next week and kind of clear up a few things, if we will.
Yeah, that's going to be a early regional matchup there is what yeah. that will be. Be an interesting test for both teams.
Yeah, we'll talk about the upcoming event. If we decided we're doing that game on the 23rd, the next game will be on the 24th with Owsley County. But we'll let you know more about that next Wednesday's show.
Yeah, we're still trying to work out the scheduling for baseball and yeah. softball, as well as the Estill County Sports Network, the games that they'll be covering as well.
Give you a little bit of a rundown here of the roster for the Pirates. Again, I'll go in alphabetical order to what's listed here. Colin Barnes is senior. I'm not sure. Did he play last year?
I don't remember him playing last year, either. To be honest with you. Well, actually, he wasn't here last year. He was over at Montgomery.
So he definitely didn't play here last year. Austin Begley coming in as a sophomore. Bo Begley coming in as a freshman. Brendan Bush, a sophomore, another basketball player. Dylan Carter, basketball player just coming out, freshman. Chandler Conklin, obviously a basketball player. So, what, four of the first six or seven I mentioned are basketball guys. They're just getting back out. Quantavious Dawson has joined the team this year, a junior football player as well. Cam Del Rosario just got off the basketball hardwood, and he'll be taking his game to the diamond. Aiden Faulkner, junior. Ethan Hagenauer, a junior. Luke Hood, a junior. Ethan King, a junior. So a lot of juniors right there in a row for the Pirates. Then you got Kane Knox, a freshman. Ryder Linden, a freshman. Chase Mollahan, a freshman. L.W. Napier, sophomore. Kyle Nickel, sophomore. Braden Rogers, a senior. Corbin Thacker, a junior. Grant Wells, a freshman. Landon Wells, a junior. And Levi Wells, his brother, freshman. And Devin Young rounds out the roster for the 2021-2022 Powell County Baseball Pirates.
Yeah, and I think, again, when you look at the makeup of the team, a lot of returning players on this team, and I think that with the core that they actually have, now get some of those players that can come in and pinch hit and or relief and or pitching, I think they'll have a really nice team for Coach Frank Spencer.
Yeah, it's going to depend on the pitching. Again, you've got Austin Begley. I know he pitches. Chandler will probably come in and pitch some.
Ethan Hagenauer. Yep.
Luke Hood pitched some last year, right?
Yeah, he did.
Does some catching duties.
Kyle Nickel.
Ethan King. Kyle Nickel. He's probably their ace.
Even Cam Del Rosario.
I don't think he's pitching anymore, but he can
capable,
throw.
Yeah.
He's very capable, yeah. So a lot of those guys are going to be able to pick up the baseball and throw again. And they have to with the rules that are in place now for high school baseball.
Yeah, and only a couple of seniors on this team as well. Again, Colin Barnes joining the team this year, and then returning is Chandler Congleton.
And Braden Rogers be the third.
Oh, and Braden Rogers. Yeah, yeah. And actually, I just got to mention his name. It just dawned on me. He wasn't actually a part of the basketball team this year.
Yeah, I loved to watch Braden play, and I talked to him at Kroger. He's working, and I missed you on the floor this year. And we talked a little bit about that. He was at some games in the Pep Club. I'm not sure how much he missed it, but I know he was excited about baseball season.
I get that. And sometimes, life dictates that you can no longer play sports because you have to work and you have to kind of make your choices. And,
yep.
Sometimes you're working to save money for college. So
that's exactly right. So we want to wish the best. This is a team that between the next couple of years here, this team could do some special things. So let's get behind them and support them. And again, that auction comes up on Saturday. So we're going to take a quick break again, come back with the Powell County softball schedule here on PCSN Live.
Your hometown's where you want to raise your family, where being loyal to a friend's the only way.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. Years ago, my parents taught me that treating people fairly was the way to survive in any endeavor. I invite you to come see us before you leave our community to buy a vehicle. You will find that our comfortable down-home environment is one we take great pride in providing to our customers and the community we love. Our future generation will thank us for buying local.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back. Told you it's going to be a short break. We got one more break to go, and that'll close us out. So for the Powell County softball Pirates this year, you got that. Yep, you got to pull it up.
Lady Pirates, I do.
I don't, so you go ahead.
The Lady Pirates will start off on Monday, March the 15th, playing host to Jackson City.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Tuesday, 5:45 start time, again against Jackson City to kick things off at home. And then they will travel to Buckhorn on the 18th and then return home against Jackson County on the 21st. And then on the 24th of March, Powell will be at GRC over in Clark County on the 24th. And then the 25th, they'll travel to Wolf County.
And that again, it's a mix here of schedule. It's Jackson City, a really good team coming back from last year. Lost a player with a transfer, I think, to Breathitt County. But going to be still be a really good ball team. Buckhorn, who has got a new coach, rebuilding, I think going the right direction. So we'll see what they are. They're going to be about on the 18th on Friday. And then Jackson County, who gave us a couple beatings last year, try to give them maybe something back if we can. And then GRC is probably going to wire us out down on the carpet. But you got to play some good teams to see what you got.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think when you look at what the Lady Pirates – kind of returning in a sense. You've got some players that return, but at the same time, you lost quite a few players as well. So now it's just a matter of your team stepping up to the occasion with that. But I think the team and players that you actually have returning, some good things can happen. As we know, just like in baseball, it ultimately goes back to pitching. You have to have good pitching and then ultimately good defense to back up that pitching. It's just a matter of whether or not the Lady Pirates can kind of keep teams down and then match, obviously, offensively up the plate.
Yeah, and I was looking at my roster here, and it's got our varsity roster is actually listed. It's different than our roster, our total roster. So I'll give you a little bit of both here. What's on the KHSA right now? Got senior Madison Combs, sophomore Dessa Foster, junior Cheyenne Gearhart, another junior Chloe Grader, freshman Sophia McKinney. My screen kind of timed out. Senior Abby Napier, she'll be kind of with us this year doing some stats. She may get in a game or two. She had a back injury a couple years ago, and she just wants to be part of the team. So she's going to be helping us out with some things and be part of our varsity roster, be Abby Napier. Ellen Napier, our younger sister, seventh grader, she's going to be a special kid to watch in the future. Desi Plavnik, a junior. Carly Rogers, a junior. Zaylee Strange, a freshman. Alyssa Tharp, a junior. Kenzie Witt, freshman. Kyrie Wickline, a senior. And Maya Wickline, a freshman. We do have some others listed that are not listed on this roster. Hannah Angel, a junior. Brooklyn Branham, a junior. Emily Wireman, a sophomore. Susie Barber, a freshman. Briley McIntosh, a freshman. And Lily Cheney, a freshman. So that wraps up the roster. We've got like 20 players. 19 will be active. Kenzie Witt's actually still nursing a knee injury. So we're actually going to start out at 18 active players on the roster.
That's a nice number to have. And obviously a good mix as far as upperclassmen and some of the younger players that you're going to be able to develop.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've been really excited in the cage what we've seen so far out of the younger players and the veterans as well. So it's going to be a good mix. There is a little bit of a difference talent-wise as far as top 10, 11, and the other 7 or 8. But hopefully we'll get them there to where they need to be. That's kind of our jobs is partly do that. So I'm looking for a lot of fun, a lot of competitive pitching. Hopefully we'll get better in that. We did lose a player last week, decided not to play, which will hurt. You can't control what you can't control.
Well, on one hand, we've talked about this as well in the past. When you look at the last couple of years with COVID and how that has impacted not only students but student-athletes, and they found other things, yeah, in a sense, to kind of take up some of that time, and some of them have decided, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not going to become involved. And even going forward, you realize that other interests come along, no matter what that is, and sometimes people just don't want to devote the time and effort to a cause.
Right, and I have found with girls coaching a long time, seems to when they turn 16 and get jobs and start making some money, it's a whole lot harder to do some things. So
yeah, it's hard. It's hard to give up once you kind of get into that lifestyle.
Yeah, there one name I'm just going to check, make sure I'm. Yeah, I think I read it. But anyway, I'm really excited what I'm seeing so far with this group. Got to make sure we get in practice every day, get some work done. We got a couple more days this week, so we'll see how it goes here with our teams as we tip it off next Tuesday. So we'll start first. We're on the 15th. Boys don't play the 18th. So come out and support your Pal County Lady Pirates on Tuesday the 15th with Jackson City. And I believe you said Jimmy will be also doing that game.
Correct, yes, as long as I believe we've got everything lined out. And there will be quite a few games this season as well that will be on WSKV Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Again, we've not worked out the complete schedule, but we'll keep you updated as things kind of pan out for us. But again, I'd be expecting to see girls' softball and boys' baseball games on WSKV.
We'll kind of recap the Jackson City game. We'll come back in on Wednesday, talk about the boys' state tournament, talk about the upcoming baseball and softball schedules as well, talk about wherever how the girls' state tournament wound out, and the boys will just be starting next Wednesday night. So that'll be it for tonight here on PCSN Live. Hope they end the baseball strike today. That'd be nice to do for MLB. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, it's hard to buy tickets when you don't have a season.
Yeah, let's keep the folks in the Ukraine in our prayers. If they got families, and if you got anybody listening, let's just keep those folks in your prayers as we go forward. Thanks for listening to PCSN Live.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Winchester, Campton, Sand Hill, the Red River Gorge, Proctor, Red Lick, Richmond, Jackson, St. Helens, and Palmer. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.